We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Landry Locker in for Ron the Show, Hughley along with Clint Sterner. We're going to be joined now by Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. Mr. Florio, thank you so much for your time. There's been talk about the NFLPA wanting to eliminate preseason games. It's already been trimmed from 4 to 2. How likely do you think it is that that actually happens, that we don't see a preseason this year?
Well, there are so many different issues that the two sides currently are negotiating, and there's been a lot of reporting about what the NFLPA wants, a variety of things, no mandatory stays in hotels, no 11-on-11 activities all season long. There's a long list of things they want. The question is, which are the things they really want, and which are the things that are just negotiating fodder so they can give something up to get something? And I say that because I don't know whether the no preseason games is something they're just using to get something else or whether or not it's something they really want. But I'm starting to think it is something they really want because they keep pushing that issue and not necessarily the other ones. J.C. Treader, the union president, had a column today on the union website that specifically targeted the NFL's refusal to go with no preseason games and instead do a 48-day training camp that gets everyone ready for week one of the regular season. So I think they really want it. The problem is, you know, they signed the CBA after the pandemic started. There isn't a whole lot of leverage the NFLPA has here, but I think the NFL really wants to work with the players so they buy into whatever the rules are and they feel good about moving forward. So it's still to be determined. The league wants the two preseason games, but it doesn't look like the union's giving up. And whatever the decision, they need to figure it out pretty soon.
Mike, when I look at this, man, I can't help but I see the back and forth, you know, between the NFLPA and already on some of it on social media with some different players. I mean, is this something that we're gonna have to witness get to the point that Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association, their negotiation did the way they just did it all in the public eye, a lot of it via social media? Surely we're not going towards that route, are we?
Well, you know, it's funny, back in March, we were talking about whether or not there would be ratification of a CBA that would give us 11 years of labor peace. And now here we are looking at a potential work stoppage, not as a result of traditional labor issues, because the two sides can't come to an agreement on what the rules will be in this pandemic season. And if push came to shove, I firmly believe that the NFL could say, we have the right to set the rules. And if you don't believe that we're giving you a safe workplace and you want to run the risk of launching a wildcat strike based on your belief that the workplace isn't safe, go ahead. But if you guess wrong, it's going to be very expensive. Here's the other reality too. We know what happens if the players strike. Not all of them leave. And the ones who do leave are quickly replaced by others who are more than happy to comply with whatever rules the NFL puts forth. But I think the NFL is trying to avoid that kind of acrimony, because at the end of the day, what they really need is the players to be fully on board with everything that they put in place at the facility, on the practice field, being honest about their symptoms, being responsible when they go home at night and not going out and doing things that could get them positive for the virus. So this is where it's delicate. It's not so much an issue of labor strife. It's an issue of making sure that your workforce is all in with ensuring that you're going to have a full season. And if you get these guys upset, and maybe they're not going to be as careful as they would be, then the whole thing's going to collapse on itself. And I think that's what the NFL is trying to avoid. Not so much the players being upset and players possibly some of them going out on strike, but the players not being as careful as they need to be to keep from having what could be an outbreak that would start shutting down teams like we saw in the MLS and potentially shut down the full season.
Well, let's be honest, Mike. I mean, since that's specifically what you talked about, I mean, the Brady situation with the workouts where he just totally ignored the advisement of the PA to stop the coordinated workouts until training camp starts. And now, I mean, I think the last couple of days I've read something about where Lamar Jackson's going to have his whatever his event is that includes some kind of flag football and something else, a big event. Down in Florida, where it appears to be a hotbed for COVID-19. I mean, those can't be good looks in terms of the NFLPA and essentially the players gaining the confidence of the NFL in terms of believing that they're gonna abide by some kind of guidelines in order to stay healthy.
Yeah, you know, the good news is Lamar Jackson is canceling that event. Now, I'm not sure whether it was the team, the union, teammates, family members, whoever.
Got it.
But he realized this isn't a responsible thing to do. But you're hitting the nail right on the head. Can the NFL truly have faith in the ability and willingness of players to know how to behave in a pandemic? And let's broaden the lens. Let's look around. Do we have faith in anyone on a widespread basis that we know how to properly behave during a pandemic? We're the one country in the world where it's just run roughshod. You know, you look at the Premier League in England and the Bundesliga German soccer league, they're pulling off their sports without a hitch because in their countries, in their communities, they have it under control. So when you have these guys out and about possibly making poor decisions, possibly realizing when maybe they have symptoms, I heard from one team where there was a guy and they hammered it into them every day. Here are the things to be on the lookout for. Here's what you need to know that if you're experiencing any of this, you need a test. A guy went a week without being able to taste before he finally said to somebody, hey, should I get tested? Well, they were telling him every day, this is one of the things that you need to be on the lookout for. So that's the concern, that the players aren't going to be able or willing to do everything that needs to be done to keep the facilities clean, to keep the virus off of a practice field or a game field, and to avoid an outbreak that is going to start canceling games, and before you know it, the season just falls apart and they just throw their hands up and say, we can't do this.
Talking to Mike Florio here on Sports Radio 610 of Pro Football Talk. I want to talk about the Pat Mahomes contract yesterday. Obviously a record-setting deal. What from player perspective and from team perspective, what do you make of this deal? Because I had John McClain on with me earlier today, and he was basically saying that Mahomes really, if you look at it, left a lot of meat on the bone to where, yes, you look at this and say that's a lot of money, but he doesn't know that it was in the best interest of maximizing his earning potential for him to sign this 10-year deal. How do you look at that deal from the player's perspective and the team perspective?
Well, and remember, it's a 10-year deal, but it's tacked on to the 2 years that he already had left. So it is a 12-year commitment. It was jarring to me. When I heard that it was a deal through 2031, my first thought was, well, he's the first guy to get a guaranteed percentage of the salary cap. So every year, no matter what the market does, no matter what the salary cap does, he's protected. If it goes up to $500 million, he's getting 17% or whatever the number was going to be. But a specific percentage of the cap every year. That's the only way you can justify doing a deal that long into the future. And then it turns out that's not what he did. What he did was sign away his rights for 12 seasons where, you know, you can say he made the commitment to the Chiefs, but the reality is it's a one-way commitment. We've been down this road so many times over the past few years talking about how the contracts aren't guaranteed, the team can rip them up whenever they want, the player can't rip up the contract. The players' rights are limited as to what they can and can't do to try to get a new deal if they're not happy with the contract. And Mahomes is locked in at a new money rate of $45 million. Now, look, that's $10 million more than Russell Wilson. The cash flow is not very good the first 4 years. Ryan Tannehill's deal with the Titans pays out more for the first 4 years. But over the life of the contract, if he keeps playing well enough and the Chiefs decide to keep him around, and let's face it, there's no reason to think he's going to not be a great player unless he has an accumulation of injuries that ultimately affect his abilities. But the point is, they have control for 12 years, and at some point in the next 12 years, the salary cap is going to be at a point, the quarterback market's going to be at a point where Patrick Mahomes is getting woefully underpaid, and the question is, will the Chiefs, when they have no obligation to do so, will they rip up the contract and take care of Mahomes if it gets to that point? Maybe they will, but there's nothing that requires them to do it. And it was funny yesterday. I'm sure you guys heard the story about how the story broke with
yeah. the liquor store manager.
Buy champagne.
Yeah.
There's a reason. There's a reason they were going to buy the champagne. It wasn't Mahomes going to buy the champagne. Not that he should be upset with the deal. I mean, that's the thing. It's hard to criticize it because it really is a significant contract. But we're talking about one of the greatest players in league history already, and on the track that he's on, he potentially is going to be one of the best players of all time. He needs a contract that reflects that. And other than a big headline where his agent can say it's the first $500 million contract in league history, and technically it's not, other than that, it doesn't have the kinds of bells and whistles that you look for. And agents for other quarterbacks are now looking at this and saying, we're going to have to deal with this when we try to get contracts for our clients.
Speaking of other quarterbacks, there's one here in Houston that I think is next in line. If it's not him, it's Dak in Dallas. So both of them are in Texas. Talk to us a little bit about Watson, man. I mean, I think word on the street was that he was working for a 3-year deal that would have been tacked on to the 2 years that he has remaining. How does this impact a Deshaun Watson negotiation? Do they go? I mean, do you think this is a situation where all of a sudden these quarterbacks start looking for 8 to 10 year deals, or do you think it starts trending in the direction of the shorter deals so they can cash in more times throughout their career than just the one time?
I think it's going to be the teams, guys, that are looking for the longer-term deals. They're going to be the ones that take this and say, well, who do you think you're better than Patrick Mahomes? If you're good enough for Patrick Mahomes, you think you're better than him? You're not better than him. Not that that would ever be negotiated specifically that way, but when the guy who's the best quarterback right now in football does a 12-year contract, it makes it harder for Deshaun Watson to get a 3-year contract. But it's always in the player's interest. Unless the deal is fully guaranteed, start to finish, which teams aren't going to do if it's a long-term deal, you want a shorter-term deal. Russell Wilson does 4-year extensions. Deshaun Watson wants a 3-year extension, as you mentioned. Shorter term is better because the more times you get back to the trough during the course of your career, the more money you're going to make because the cap is going to keep going up, the numbers are going to keep improving, and you want to have more cracks at getting, not necessarily to free agency because it's difficult for a franchise quarterback to ever get to free agency, but look, it's not unprecedented. Kirk Cousins did it. But if you keep putting the team in a position where they have to renegotiate and they're facing franchise tags and they're facing the 20% bump on the second year of a franchise tag and that third-year nightmare that Washington eventually faced with Cousins, that's how you keep getting better and better and better contracts. So I think that if Deshaun Watson does 12 years with the Texans in the form of 4 3-year extensions, he's going to end up with more money at the end of the day than Patrick Mahomes is going to have if he does the full 12 years of his deal with the Chiefs.
Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk joining us on Sports Radio 610. Mike, what about I keep hearing people talk about the sports betting, the gambling money that'll be there, the TV money that'll be there in, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years. And we've heard about it with Dak. We've heard about it with Deshaun Watson. We heard about it with Laremy Tunsil, just signed a 3-year extension. I mean, obviously I know what they're talking about, but what do those numbers look like? Because people are talking about them like they're going to be so much, there's going to be such a huge increase that these guys are crazy to not contractually allow themselves to cash in as many times as possible. What do you speculate, or what do you think that those numbers are going to look like?
Well, nobody knows specifically what's going to happen, and we're dealing with this short-term reality of the pandemic taking away $3 billion in ticket sales and associated revenue this year, and if they lose part of the season, you're going to lose a big chunk of the TV money, and the salary cap may go down next year, although I think before the salary cap ever goes down, what they would do is borrow against future caps to keep it more smooth because teams aren't going to want to have to cut half their roster. But at some point, the clouds are going to part. The pandemic's going to be over. The new TV money is going to kick in. And I think once the pandemic ends, what we're going to see is an acceleration of legalized gambling and legalized marijuana, because that's going to be the way that states can make money to rebuild their budgets post-pandemic. So states that were already going to have legalized gambling, you're going to see it faster. States that were never going to have it are now going to have it. And that's just more money that's going to go into the NFL's coffers. And nobody knows what the sky is on there, that how far it's going to go. But, you know, we can see salary cap, $300 million, $350. We've seen it keep going up and up and up. When it first started back in the early 90s, I think it was $41 million or thereabouts per team. Now it's at $200. So because of the uncertainty and because of the historical growth,
you don't want to tie yourself to certain numbers and then hope that the team will take care of you if it comes down to it. Because here's the thing, and you know, this is where the ego of the player comes into play. Patrick Mahomes is not going to be inclined in a few years to say my deal stinks, right? Because your first step, if you go down that path, is to admit you screwed up and you shouldn't have signed that contract. Now, maybe he's taken a leap of faith that the Chiefs will honor, even though they're not required to, where they will tear up the deal and they will take care of it. If Andy Reid's still the head coach, then maybe that's likely to happen. But a lot can change in 12 years, and without having that certainty, yeah, I'd rather do three-year, four-year contracts so we can see where we are from a cap standpoint and a revenue standpoint. And, you know, I want to get through the pandemic and get to the other side before anyone can really know how much money is going to be out there. And I think that Deshaun Watson's handling it the right way. Dak Prescott's handling it the right way. He only wants to do a four-year deal. I guarantee you, if the Cowboys took the Patrick Mahomes contract right now and scratched out Chiefs and put in Cowboys, scratched out Patrick Mahomes and put in Dak Prescott and put it on the table and said, here's your final offer for next Wednesday when the window closes on long-term deals for franchise tag players, Dak Prescott would say no thank you.
Oh, wow. Man, Mike Florio with us, Pro Football Talk here on Sports Radio 610. Mike, I want to get you out of here on this, and we appreciate the time. Less than 10 weeks away from the first Sunday of the season, God willing, it's owners, players, yourself, media types, they're shuffling like crazy. Is Dan Snyder going to have to go through everything that everyone else is going through and change his name, his team name, in 10 weeks? Do you think that's going to happen?
You know, there's an article in the Washington Post talking about how difficult it is to change a name, change a brand, how much time it takes, all the little things you have to do, secure trademark rights, change your programs, change everything. It's not an easy process, but this is the debt that you accrue when you dig in your heels like a child in 2013, when people start to make excellent points about how language has evolved to a point where it is a dictionary-defined slur. The name needs to go. He said, I'll never change it. Put that in all caps 7 years ago, and he waited until a reckoning where his sponsors demanded it. Retailers won't sell the merchandise. The league is leaning on him to do it. His coach has basically gone rogue and has made it clear it's going to happen. You got to do it at this point. You can't say, well, you know what? We've decided it's impractical under the circumstances to change the name before the start of the season. So let's just get through this season. Everybody deal with the racial slur that we now acknowledge is the name of the team. We'll take care of that in January. No, this is what happens when you wait 7 years and you refuse for 7 years to do what you should have done 7 years ago, and you got to move quickly. So, man, Ron Rivera has said they got a couple names they like, and it isn't all that hard. When you have an army of lawyers at your disposal, it's not that hard to get the trademarks filed. It isn't all that hard to cross the T's and dot the I's. And I think there will be a new name for that team before the season begins. I hope we find out. I hope a season begins so we can find out whether or not there's a new name for the Washington franchise.
Mike, real quick, also outside of Houston, man, Cam Newton in New England. I don't think we've had you on to get your response to him being there and what the future looks like for him and the Patriots. What's your just overall view on Cam Newton as a Patriot?
Well, I'm fascinated by the fact that the Patriots were able to keep under wraps their interest in Cam Newton. No one believed that Bill Belichick wanted him. And if the league had believed that Bill Belichick wanted him, he wouldn't have been available in late June for Bill Belichick to sign for a bargain basement contract. And that's one thing that stuns me. You're bringing a guy to potentially be your starting quarterback, and the most he's going to make is $7.5 million. For most teams, you know, there's kind of a sense like when Philip Rivers became the quarterback of the Colts. You got to give him $25 million a year because he's got to have respect when he walks into the locker room. And if you're paying him $12 million, the players may not respect him as the starting quarterback. Well, Cam Newton doesn't need that. And Bill Belichick doesn't need to give that. Cam Newton is a guy who's going to come in, and if he's healthy, he's going to take over that team. He's going to make the Patriots better. He's going to diversify the offense. And, you know, the one thing about all the uncertainty that's happening during the pandemic, and I had an item over the weekend about how coaches and GMs don't know what the rules are going to be and they're frustrated by it. I think the one guy that will roll with the punches unlike anyone else and come up with plans on the fly that will work whenever he finds out what the rules are, even if it's the night before the first game, it's Bill Belichick. And I think that this post-Tom Brady existence of the Patriots, you throw Cam Newton onto the fire, if he's healthy, this team has the potential to be pretty good this year, and the more chaos and uncertainty there is, the better off the Patriots are going to be.
Mike, we appreciate you very much for hopping on. Thank you so much for the time.
All right, good talking to you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.